Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
For the first time this morning, we're going to talk about the Dr. Yum Project. I have waited a long time for this, and I have no answers of why all of these years we have not talked about the Dr. Yum Project. Dr. Yum, first of all, it's great to meet you. Good morning.
Good morning. We're so excited to be here.
There are many things going on, and there's an event coming up that we're going to touch on, and just a whole lot of catching up to do. Also here this morning is, I'm going to say it slow, and I'm going to try to get it right every time, Heidi D'Eugenio.
D'Eugenio. Very
Genio.
Close.
Okay.
Yes, but close. Heidi is cool.
It is great to meet you. You're one of the founding board members.
I sure am, yeah. Very, very honored to have that role.
So let's talk about, first of all, just the Dr. Yum Project in general. I think we see the logo, we hear about it all around town. What's the story?
Well, we got our start here in Fredericksburg, and it's been a long time. Heidi and I were just saying, we haven't been here in quite a while. We used to come and talk about our mission when we got started. We were very local, and our mission really is helping families and communities overcome the barriers to eating well. And a lot of our focus was really in childhood obesity when we started.
Yeah.
At the time that we really got our start, it was around 2013. When we became an official nonprofit, and the rates of childhood obesity were really high. Virginia actually had the highest rate of childhood obesity amongst preschoolers on the WIC program.
Wow.
And, yeah.
That itself would alarm you.
It was very alarming, yeah. And I'm a pediatrician and was seeing a lot of diet-related illness in the population I served and wanted to figure out how to do better, how to help families do better. And so I met Heidi, and we tossed around some ideas. We started with some initiatives to help local restaurants actually improve their kids' menus with some healthy offerings. And actually, Foodie was one of the first restaurants that started a kids' menu. And they went on to actually sort of be recognized as the top kids' menu in Virginia. Food TV years ago actually rated all the kids' menus and found the best one from each state, and Virginia's was Foodie. That's how we were born, is really trying to figure out this problem of childhood obesity.
Absolutely.
Have we made progress? Are you happy with where we're at?
Well, you know, we feel like we have, but nationally it's really been a challenge because, you know, everything that was going wrong before the pandemic went really wrong during the pandemic. So these rates of childhood obesity actually climbed pretty steeply. The rates of rise really doubled. So we'd been working, you know, with local schools. We have a food curriculum that we piloted here in Virginia in 8 schools back in 2013. And we were really starting to make headway. And then during the COVID pandemic, a lot of the initiatives that we started, which were in-person initiatives, really we had to put to the side for safety reasons. People weren't gathering. You know, they didn't want to come to cooking classes. We had a great teaching kitchen where we used to have tons of classes and camps.
I remember that.
And it was just a busy, bustling place, and that really just shut down. And it was really sad for us to see, but for a little while, people really wanted to figure out how to cook at home because everybody was stuck at home on lockdown, right? So we just started to do more videos and social media, and we started to offer virtual classes, and we saw people kind of tuning in from other states, and we saw that maybe our preschool curriculum needed to grow outside of Fredericksburg. And so we just kind of hunkered down and started to get a more national presence. And, you know, so we definitely have our work cut out for us because on a national scale, there's still a lot of need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, isn't it interesting when we talk about, and you talk about too, the pandemic was definitely a problem in for child nutrition and all of that. But it did create, I guess, you then, you know, moved out of Fredericksburg and have more of a national presence.
Yeah, we did.
We did. We're now in 40 states and Puerto Rico, Washington, D.C., Australia, and Canada.
40 states.
Yeah. Well, over 18,000 students on the adventure right now. And it's in, we're really excited because we just finally kind of hit this goal that we've been wanting to meet for quite a while, and we've been published in a peer-reviewed journal in the Journal of Health Education, which really helps us really legitimize the work that we're doing, and quite honestly helps us kind of, it opens the door a little bit to funding opportunities and some other to expansion even beyond what we are right now.
Yeah. Wow,
that's exciting.
It's really exciting.
Yeah, yeah. We actually, so what we did is we've really had a presence in Head Start, and that really began in Fredericksburg. So the first Head Start that adopted our food adventure, which is a monthly cooking curriculum where we train teachers, we train parents on a very specific approach to feeding behaviors and picky eating behaviors, really giving kids sort of a practicing mindset around food. And we knew this approach would work, but we wanted to be able to test it. We wanted to bring some rigor to it. So
yeah.
During the pandemic, we had been implementing in a community in Alabama in 6 classrooms. In northern Alabama, there was a community action partnership that recognized that this might be a good approach for the students in their community. And during the year that they implemented, the teachers enjoyed the curriculum so much that they went around the other parts of the state saying, like, we're doing this Dr. Yum thing, and it's so good, and and we love it. Our students love it. The families love it. And so other teachers were like, well, why aren't we doing it? So they went to this community action partnership, and they said, we all want to be doing this. So they came to us in 2021 and said, you know, we have about a quarter of the state that wants to do it. So we have the resources. We would like to be able to outfit these 1,200 students with the curriculum. And so we did a study, and we looked at these kids over the course of a year to see, is their feeding improving by cooking in the classroom with these specific techniques, with this specific parent outreach, teacher training? What was that doing to their feeding attitudes and behaviors? And we looked at some measures around food fussiness, we call it, right? Like picky eating.
Yeah.
Everybody knows a fussy eater,
oh,
right?
Totally.
They don't want to try things. They're turning their nose up at everything. So we looked at those specific behaviors, and then we looked at food enjoyment. How much do they like coming to the table and being involved in mealtimes? And we found this significant improvement in all of these behaviors in just 7 lessons, which was remarkable. We also looked at the effect on their weight status, right? So we just started with this initiative around childhood obesity. So we stratified the kids into low weight category. So the kids that were really underweight, too small for their age group. Then we looked at kids that were high weight, and then normal weight. And we found that after doing the curriculum, the kids who were high weight actually decreased their body weight by 17 percentile points. And what was really interesting is the kids that were very low weight when they started improved their BMI status by 25 points, percentile points. So we were just shocked by this. And we know that kids, when they are exposed to Head Start, those low weight and high weight kids usually sort of become a little bit more normalized just by being in Head Start, right? Head Start's a wonderful program. They're exposed to nutrition and great habits. But this effect was much greater than what we usually see. So there's something to getting these kids in the kitchen, teaching their parents how to expose them to foods at home, that was actually improving their health status, which was just remarkable to see.
We need to take a quick break. We'll come back. I want to talk more about this. I mean, you're a godsend to parents. I mean, some parents, you raise your hands and just, I can't do it. I don't know what to do. And this is just exciting stuff. So quick break. We're going to come back and talk more about the Dr. Yum Project. And there is a casino night, a fundraiser coming up too in March. We'll get into that too when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Heidi D. Eugenio.
Yes.
Was that it? I got it? Okay, I got it. And Namali Fernando, who's Dr. Yum here this morning. How did that name develop? It's a wonderful name.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, I was looking for ways to share recipes with my patients. And I thought, you know, this is the way to sort of maybe get kids in the kitchen, get parents in the kitchen, just give them recipes. So I thought, I need a website name to put these recipes on. And my sister, who's a physician, said, you should have the word doctor in the name of the website so people know that you're a physician and that you have some science background.
Agree.
And so Dr. Yum just sort of came to mind, and we kind of drew out a little logo, and I didn't realize that I would become Dr. Yum, though. That was a story that was yet to be told. But I mean, sure enough, people just started calling me Dr. Yum, and so I sort of lean into it now. It's a thing.
It is a thing. It's a great thing because it doesn't make it sound so.
It's fun.
It's a serious. Yes. This is dead serious stuff.
It is very serious.
But you're right. It can be fun.
Our whole goal is really to make it approachable, to make it fun, to make food enjoyable for kids, because I think families get bogged down in just nutrition, right? Like, we got to get the bites of broccoli in. We've got to make sure that we're doing all the right things. And really, I think if you can take a step back and have fun with food and have fun with kids in the kitchen, you get there eventually, but without all the stress, right?
Oh, I did everything so wrong. my oldest daughter and I can still picture the night when we said, you will eat, it was broccoli. And she said no, and I said, the longer it goes, I'm just going to keep adding.
Yeah, it's always broccoli.
And she was crying and screaming and hates broccoli to this day. But picky eaters, it's a hard thing.
You don't really get a manual on how to manage picky eating. And so that's why I think teaching teachers and teaching parents really evidence-based approaches, because all the things that we do as parents, and we've done them too, right?
Yeah.
We're both parents. We've made mistakes. We look back on it and go, wow, I'm glad we, you know better now. But a lot of those things that we do intuitively, they don't help, right? They make things worse. Pressuring children, punishing children, rewarding children even, right? We think rewarding would help.
The no thank you bite.
Yeah, the no thank you bite, right? People say, just, you know, take a bite and say no. Those things actually kind of backfire, right? So when you can give, you know, a sort of the manual, we actually have a teacher manual and a parent manual as part of our program. We wrote a manual, and I think that is needed because our intuition isn't always the right answer when it comes to food.
That's what just makes this whole program, I think, for both kids and just families.
Yes. Right.
Something that's great.
Yeah, we really, one of the biggest and one of the earliest benefits that we saw were these kids that were really kind of exploring new foods and getting really excited about new foods and then taking that into the family. And so the kids, there's nothing more convincing than a really excited preschooler for different behaviors in the family. And so these kids are becoming the change agent in the family. And then we're seeing meals starting to change. We see sometimes the recipes that the kids will make in the classroom will come back in lunches for these kids. So we know that it's getting integrated in that family habit.
Definitely.
What a great feeling it's got to be to see success to see families that, you know, you don't have the screaming children and you're going to eat this kind of thing and kids getting healthier.
Absolutely. And we really credit Fredericksburg for helping us to learn all of these lessons, right?
You know,
for 10 years we had a teaching kitchen, we had classes, we had these pilot schools here in Virginia that took a chance, took our curriculum into their communities, and told us what worked, what didn't, what we could improve, and we've built on that success. So to now be able to go to other parts of the country and share these lessons learned is really, really gratifying to us.
Boy, to do that, I mean, did you ever think in the early days of this that this would be a national thing?
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I can believe it. Had we been doing shows back then, I think I would have said to you, it's only a matter of time until other states figure this out, or until you write, and I guess that's still to be, till you write a best-selling book someday.
Well, she has.
I didn't know that.
I do have a book that I wrote actually with the co-author of the curriculum that we wrote. Her name is Melanie Potok. She is a feeding therapist. She's a speech language pathologist who specializes in feeding. So when I wanted to write this curriculum, I thought I need a specialist in feeding to really help crack the code on how we guide these parents and families. Mm. She has a science to how she helps kids, particularly kids with picky eating, with special needs, kids who have feeding disorders. She knows how to help them because we wanted the curriculum to be inclusive. So we actually wrote this curriculum together over the phone from Colorado to Fredericksburg. We wrote it over two time zones. And we realized we had a chemistry and that we were solving a problem in a very specific way. So we wrote a book together in 2015 called Raising a Healthy, Happy Eater. And then we wrote a second edition in 2021, I think, second edition. And that curriculum or that book actually is part of the program. There's always a classroom copy of that book. We really cover birth to school age. How do you raise a child to be a great eater? And what do you do when you run into picky eating behaviors at every single stage? A lot of these stages are very predictable. So yeah. Why not give parents basically a manual? Again, it is a manual for parents.
And they can get that book
anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, it's everywhere.
Are you still doing things in area schools?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. I think almost all of the schools that started with us as a pilot are still going. Shout out to Fredericksburg Head Start because they've really been our sort of test community.
Yeah.
And what we've seen in that in Fredericksburg City Schools is really remarkable. When we started, there was a really high percentage of kids with very high BMI, almost at a level which it was, alarming. And so those folks in Fredericksburg City Schools brought us in to start the food adventure, and they did some gardening and some other wonderful initiatives. And we saw that rate of kids with very high BMI go down by 70% within 3 years. And they continue to use the curriculum in a very robust way. They're always willing to sort of help problem solve around new ideas. And we just love being in a Head Start in our community where we can actually check up on them, be part of their family nights and things like that. It's a great relationship that we have with them.
What's so interesting about this is that over the years, I mean, you could have just settled in and just, I'm going to be a pediatrician. That's my calling. But you saw the connection between a lot of this.
I think once we saw that it was working, it fueled our ambition.
Okay.
And so we saw, wow, this is really working in King George. It's working in Fredericksburg. It's working in our local community. Let's see if we can get it outside to other communities in Fredericksburg. Once we saw that success, then we were really hooked. We're like, okay, this has got to be everywhere. And I mean, I don't hide the ambition. We really would love to be in every Head Start in America. And
you should be.
We would love to be in every YMCA in America. We actually just finished a wonderful pilot program with the YMCA of the USA, and we became a nationally recognized partner. We had a pilot program in 16 YMCA sites across the country. It was very successful. All of the schools enjoyed it. A lot of their schools improved and expanded their preschool food adventure, to other sites. And it's just been exciting to see. So we're not stopping.
No.
Good. Because there's not a community or a home in this country that can't use this.
Well, and the thing that's really interesting is there's a huge movement we're very excited about, improving school cafeteria food, like the quality and taste of it, which is remarkable, and getting locally sourced produce into schools and that sort of thing. The issue is that there's a little bridge that a lot of places aren't kind of seeing, and once they do, we can fill that gap, is teaching the kids how to try the new foods. Because you can have a Michelin star chef making the best meal ever, but if a kid will only eat chicken nuggets, it's going in the trash.
Yeah.
And so we know that we are a great partner to a lot of really remarkable programs that are out there that are kind of still, they're maybe, you know, and I'm making this up, but maybe 50, 60, 70% of the kids are excited about trying the new foods, but there's a good chunk of kids that really need this extra help to kind of get them to the table and to try. Yeah.
Well, and if as you're successful with these kids and they learn things, and it can just keep building and building, and you get another generation that doesn't have the problems that we have now.
Fredericksburg City Schools is seeing the exact same thing we've been talking about. Brian Kiernan is the head of food services there, and he is our number one advocate, and he's seeing, because they've been doing it for about 10 years. So as those kids are going up into the classroom, up in age, he's seeing that even just like the amount of pizza that the kids are ordering is less. The kids are eating more of the fresh foods. He's got a salad bar, and that's getting consumed more. And he purchases the highest per capita per student rate of fruits and vegetables in the state of Virginia, and they get consumed.
Wow. That's something you don't hear.
No, exactly. He says usually as the kids get older, you're buying more pizza. But he's buying less pizza and more salad, which is just mind-blowing. But if you think about it, these kids that we started with in Head Start, they learned how to practice food when they were 4 and 5. They're now in middle school and high school, so they're keeping these lessons. And they've built a palate that includes a lot of fresh foods, which is wonderful.
Best place to get information is DrYum.org? Is that the best?
DrYum.org, you can find all of our programs there. You can learn about our programs. And we have so many free resources that families can just tap into today. There's no login. There's no password. You just jump on. You can plan meals. You can make recipes. You can read our blogs. We have a lot there that we built over 10 years.
Right. Quick break. We're going to come back and continue on and also talk about casino night and what are you getting involved in that can help too. The Dr. Yum Project this morning, DrYum.org. Also check them out on Facebook. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is almost 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
We are talking at Dr. Yum Project this morning, DrYum.org. Namali Fernando is Dr. Yum, and Heidi Di Eugenio is the founding board member with the Dr. Yum Project, here providing just some great information. Talk about casino night, because this is March 7th, and this is a way, you talked about foodie, and this is a way to honor them in some way.
Yeah, so we have this tradition of casino night, which is a great time to reconnect with our local fans and followers, supporters. We took a break during the pandemic and brought it back last year, and it was a success. One thing that we've sort of tied into casino night is a chance to honor a community changemaker with our Community Changemaker Award. And this year we're awarding it to Beth Black and Joy Crump from Foodie, who sort of, as Heidi said, we got to know each other over a meal at Foodie. They partnered with us to do a kids menu. They've supported many of our fundraisers. They're just wonderful people. They've done so much for the food community in Fredericksburg, so we thought it very fitting to award them this year with that honor. So we'll be celebrating them and what they've done for our community and for our project. And everyone just has a great time at casino night.
It's a good time.
It's at the Silk Mill. We have a number of attendees and sponsors that come year after year. This year we have some new sponsors and hopefully some new attendees that will come and learn about our mission and just have a great time.
It's March 7th.
This
is really a chance to find out more and, like you say, be able to support the work of the Dr. Yum Project.
Absolutely. And you can, get a little dressed up and just enjoy yourselves for the evening.
Yeah. It's a party with a purpose,
we say. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, and if you really believe in this or see the value in the community, this is a way that you can bring some people along, and it's a great chance to learn about what you do.
And we'll be showcasing a couple of folks who have been impacted by the programs here in Fredericksburg, too, so you can hear about what that's like, what the programs do for families, how it's affected their lives and their health. Yeah, and then just have a lot of fun and connect with friends and hit the tables with some free funny money.
And have fun. It's March 7th. Do you get tickets off the website?
Yeah, if you go to dryum.org, you'll see a big banner, and you can look at the tickets and sponsorship opportunities. It's a really fun time.
As you have talked this morning, I've in my mind just written some things down for future shows, because but boy, to be able to talk, like you say, to talk about some of the success stories and what's that meant to families.
Right.
What a great opportunity to show that this is more than just teaching kids and parents a trick or two. Just the whole changing lives part of it.
Well, yeah, and we actually have a new program that kind of goes back to our roots of our initiatives around childhood obesity. It's called Touchpoints. And that program is just sort of getting started. We developed that about a year ago. It is a curriculum for pediatricians and medical providers in primary care offices to help children with childhood obesity to learn healthy lifestyle behaviors in a super fun and empowering way. And it's informed by evidence-based recommendations from the American Academy of Pediatrics. We saw a need for a program like this for pediatricians who were struggling with how do we help these kids with their sleep, with their nutrition, with mealtimes, with exercise, in a sort of evidence-based way. So we wrote this curriculum about a year ago, and we are seeing success in places across the country with providers that are using that program. And so once again, we always need to think about research when we're developing our programming. So we're about to start a nationwide randomized controlled trial with providers from across the country. And that effort is being led by researchers at the University of Texas Houston School of Public Health. We're just getting ready to launch that study this spring, and we're excited to see the numbers, really, to see what we have been observing in my practice and other partner practices across the country, that kids are really enjoying it, they are improving their health outcomes, they're feeling better about themselves, and their families are actually getting healthier. So we're excited to see when that data rolls in, what it shows.
Wow, how exciting that this started here, but you know, you're talking about the University of Texas, you're talking about 40 states, I'm trying to get my head around it, because I'm still back in 2015.
Right.
When you were here, and it was a wonderful program, and isn't this great that we've gotten this? And as you just talk, I'm just overwhelmed by just the excitement. And I'm sure you all have to just every day look at it and just think, what is happening here?
I know. We are ambitious. We see the value of our programs, and we want to be able to spread it. So we're always looking forward. But every now and then we look back and we're like, oh, wow, you know, it's neat to see how we've grown.
Well, you talk about the Touch Points program and you know, getting that into other pediatricians' offices. And, I mean, that's the great thing, that you haven't just kept it as, I mean, you want to share this with as many and get as many involved. That it's not like, this is our program, this is my program. You want to get started with this community and you know, has moved out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's really all about sharing lessons learned. I've been a pediatrician for 24 years now, made a lot of mistakes, especially when it comes to, you know, counseling families on issues like obesity. What I've really learned is it's really not about the weight. It is really about focusing on empowering the child. And for so long, we've focused on things that we can measure. But when we really can take a step back from that and really focus on how kids are feeling, how they feel about themselves, the kind of habits that make them succeed in school and within their families, the weight comes later, the health outcomes will follow, but taking the focus away from that just takes the pressure off, and I feel like it's much more successful. So that's a lesson that I've learned over the years, and the evidence supports that, and so the creation of the program really comes from all of that experience.
And that's why you need to go to dryum.org, go to some of these free resources and start looking at this, because it's not like, and I guess everybody's different. It's not like I can say to you, well, tell me one or two things that the parents can do. Everybody's different, and what works with one might not work with another.
I will say the one takeaway that I can say is to stop using the phrase picky eater.
Yeah.
Because kids live into what parents expect of them.
Yeah.
You know, we often say if a child isn't able to read a book the first time they open up a page, you don't call them a terrible reader, and they're never going to have to read again. They can just watch movies the rest of their life.
Right.
And so,
yes.
You know, if a kid tries broccoli for the first time and doesn't like it, you're like, okay, they're a picky eater. We're done. And there's the kids respond to how you label it. We talk a lot about being a practicing eater, being adventurous, you know, trying. I'm not ready for that yet. There's a lot of this practicing mindset, this open aperture to trying new things.
Well, and just Dr. Yum, as you just talked about, just the fact how things can change, how when eating changes, or you have success in other areas, and it all comes together.
Yeah, absolutely. We see a lot of resilience built around trying food. You know, for some kids, food can be really scary, right? And when we show kids that they can practice food, they can be brave and do things that are hard,
yeah,
right? That can generalize into other areas.
Right. If I can do that, I can do this.
Exactly. And so, mm-hmm. as Heidi said, we really have developed this sort of growth mindset around food. It's not that you're not good at eating or that you're a picky eater. It's that you have to practice. And we really arm kids in our manuals with our teachers and our parents. We arm them with that language.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that you don't like it. You may not like it yet. You may still have to practice it. And what the teachers tell us is they use that practicing language around everything that they're doing, right? Like,
yeah.
I got to practice my shapes. I've got to practice this and that. And those lessons really can generalize into other areas and arm kids with these tools for success.
And helping kids battle this and figure it out at a young age,
yeah,
is going to help them as they become adults, and they'll be healthier adults.
Exactly.
But we haven't even talked about just that the healthy component and what that would mean, what that can mean to an individual, to a family, to the country.
100%.
Yeah, yeah. And we really, you know, what's been wonderful about having the support of the community is it allows us to ask those kinds of questions,
mm-hmm.
do the research that we need to show that we are moving the needle in terms of health outcomes. So
yeah.
We have a lot of research questions that still need to be asked around the food adventure, and getting support from our community with, you know, events like Casino Night, we're able to take on those research questions a little bit better.
That's the other thing. Yeah, the other thing of just being able to get involved
yeah.
with the Dr. Yum Project,
mm-hmm.
and whether it's, you know, whether it's a monthly commitment to it or
mm-hmm.
just get involved there, because you're doing things. You're doing exciting things. That's what's exciting.
I mean,
you want to get involved in something that's helping the community right here.
Yeah.
Well, and we're not just about kids, too. I mean, we consider ourselves a public health organization. And as an organization that really has an eye towards public health, we want to not just affect children. We're thinking about the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
So we're thinking about generations. When we survey the teachers that teach the mm-hmm. preschool food adventure, the food adventure, we find that they are changing the way they eat. They are trying foods that they've never tried.
Mm-hmm.
They are approaching food with their own families in better ways. And so same thing with parents. The food climate, the food energy is different, right? They're cooking more. They're trying more foods. They're getting out of their comfort zone. So the more that we can affect the family, that trickles back down to the kids.
It's like the summer reading program at the library. Parents or kids are gonna model things that they see their parents do.
Yes.
It's not like you're gonna sit and read this book while I go watch TV.
Yeah, 100%. That's
yeah.
a perfect example. Kids they learn from their parents. You know,
yeah.
there's a lot of evidence in the preschool space that children are affected. The vegetable consumption is directly affected by what their parents are eating, particularly mothers, which is really interesting. So when they see their parents eating vegetables, they're going to eat vegetables too. It's really hard to get them to do things that their parents aren't doing.
Right. Yeah, no, we were talking, I just thought you can't, if you see that your kids are getting interested in these kinds of foods,
right,
and they need to have these kinds of foods,
yes,
you can't be sitting there and, you know, munching on chips or chicken nuggets all the time.
Yeah,
right.
This really can have an impact on a family.
Well, and take that a step further. I think it can be high risk and stress for a family to just kind of keep buying the fresh produce, thinking that it's going to be thrown away. And so that's one of the nicest things, especially in programs like Head Start, where we take the pressure off the parents, so the kids are doing the tasting and the exploration with all their senses in the school environment. And then you can kind of have a success story because we give the parents the recipe that the kids make. And the best example of that, we have this great tangy broccoli salad. You know, parents are like, my kid's not going to eat broccoli. And then the kid comes home and is like, I love broccoli and I love this recipe, this specific recipe. It's better than saying to a parent, go find a recipe with broccoli because there are 15 different ways to prepare it. So the parent can get the ingredients for that broccoli salad with confidence that it is going to be eaten. And so that is a huge hurdle that a family can clear and be like, okay, we had the success with this. And then you can kind of have a little bit more confidence trying that ingredient in different ways.
Well, and just the food, the title, A Food Adventure.
Yes.
Again, it's a great, it sort of fits with a lot of things. It makes it sound
exciting.
Yes. We're going on an adventure.
Yes. Kids are programmed to want to learn.
Yes.
That's their job. I always tell kids when I see them in the office, you have two jobs. One is to grow and one is to learn. And when you present foods in that way, like, we're going to have fun. We're going to explore this, not just with our taste buds, but we're going to explore it with our fingers. We're going to describe it. We're going to smell it. We're going to listen to it. If it makes funny sounds when it's, you know, does it squeak when we wash it? All of those things that we, you know, as adults don't think about are exciting to kids, right? And so it is a multi-sensory approach. And I think it builds confidence, especially for those kids who are more hesitant, if they can have these fun experiences with foods, with other senses, they're more apt to try, right? And that's what we're showing families and teachers how to do, is really have fun with food, right?
And as you said, I mean, this works with no matter what situation you have at home with kids. This works with everybody.
It does. And what's nice is in both of our programs, Touchpoints and the Food Adventure, we leave families with this whole ecosystem of recipes and ideas. It's a treasure trove of 10 years of work. And shout out to our Dr. Yum Project team, who has been doing recipe development and creating these blog posts and all of this content, which lives in this free space that anyone can access. So long after the kids graduate from pre-K, right? The families can go back to that resource and follow us on social and see what the new recipes are and continue to grow and learn and enjoy food.
DrYum.org. And again, those free resources for parents or grandparents or just even friends to just... I've looked at it just briefly. There's a lot of information there. You can spend a lot of information there and walk away with a lot of great tools.
Absolutely. Our favorite tool is the Meal-O-Matic. It is a customized recipe tool. So you can pull it up and you get a choice of about 7 different types of recipes. And you can literally look in your pantry, look in your fridge, see what you've got, plug it in, and the gears will shift and it will spit out a recipe for you, whether it's a soup, a salad, a casserole, a stir fry. A favorite is called Curry in a Hurry. and always the star of the show are vegetables, right? So even if you're making a pasta, you're really packing it full of nutritious ingredients. Kids and families love that because we waste a lot of food, you know, on a daily basis.
Totally.
We buy foods for a recipe, and then we don't use the whole, you know, the whole zucchini, right? We've got half a zucchini in the fridge. What do you do with that, right? Except for watch it spoil. So this allows you to plug in what you have and sort of rescue it before it goes into the trash and create something really delicious, really easy. You didn't have to go to the grocery store. You just kind of hit what you've got in your own kitchen.
And what's it called again?
The Meal-O-Matic.
That's what I thought it was, but I wanted to double check. I have to look at that.
And the one clarification is that there are a lot of things that online now that you can put zucchini in. It'll give you 15 recipes that are already, they're already published and generated recipes. This is different in that it creates a customized recipe. So this is not pulling from what exists out there. This is like exactly, like this would be Ted's zucchini curry.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. I like that. Quick break. We're going to wrap this up. DrYum.org. And we're going to talk about the casino night, a chance for you to get involved with the Dr. Yum Project and just get involved anyway. And just through that and through financial giving. DrYum.org. We'll be back. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning. Wow, with the Dr. Yum Project. I just kept thinking as both Heidi and Molly, as you have been talking here, where have you been all these years? I've missed out on some great information. And this is so, the whole, you know, as we've talked about vegetables, I just think of places like the Rappahannock Education Farm that's raising all produce, and they're getting it to food banks and food pantries and things like that. This is a big issue. And for families, like you say, Dr. Yum, this is for sometimes, I'm sure you hear, I mean, families just come in and throw their hands up and just say, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, well, you mentioned, you know, food banks, food pantries. We actually, during the pandemic, we saw there was, you know, a rise in food insecurity. And that's something that we think about a lot. So we developed sort of a paper version of the Meal-O-Matic because we realized people may be accessing food pantries and food banks and getting foods that they're not used to, right, and don't know what to do with. So we developed a sort of paper version of the Meal-O-Matic so that you can sort of customize when you get some of these new items that you're not sure what to do with and figure out how to make a recipe out of it. And our local food bank was giving, the Fredericksburg Food Bank, I believe, was giving that those helpful pieces of information out, because just getting the food might not be enough if you don't know how to prepare it in a way that your family's going to enjoy.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. DrYum.org. Again, there are all kinds of information on what Dr. Yum is doing around here and nationally, and just things to help your family. DrYum.org, and get involved with what they're doing. And you can also get involved with Casino Night on March the 7th at the Old Silk Mill.
Please come. It is a blast.
It's a blast. Yeah, 7 to 11. We'll be, you know, we have the casino tables rolling.
Dance floor rolling.
Seth.
Cessna is there. Doing his thing. So
it'll be a lot of fun. And we always love when new faces show up at casino night, because then we can show off our mission, right, and educate a little bit about what we do, the kind of impact we're having both in Fredericksburg and beyond.
Yeah.
But mostly people just, they love to come and have fun.
Just have fun. And if you're looking for someone to get involved with and that's having such an impact, the Dr. Yum Project. And like you said, the more you have, the more you can continue to do these studies and get these programs into other people's hands in other states.
Yeah, we would love to be in more Head Starts. We would love to be in more YMCAs. You know, our program is so flexible. We can help lots of different communities in lots of different ways. Home daycares, faith-based schools. I mean, it's a very flexible program. And this is a problem. Getting kids to eat healthy is a problem that affects every community.
Yep.
Right.
Exactly. DrYum.org. Namali Fernando, Dr. Yum, and Heidi DiEugenio here this morning from the Dr. Yum Project. Thank you so much. This is the start of many programs.
Thank you.
We'll have you back real soon. Thanks
so much.
That is it. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.